Good morning, church family. Welcome to this Lord's Day together with the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. I'm grateful for you choosing to be here, to be virtually present with us. We are one in the spirit of one faith, one Lord, one hope, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in us all. And so while we can't be together, physically at least, we are together spiritually. And I'm grateful for your faith. I wrote something in lieu of a video welcome this morning, a semi-type of poem, and I've entitled it, What I've Seen While in Quarantine. And I hope these words are encouraging, fill your heart with love, and move you into a place ready to worship in just a few moments. I've seen individuals become Christians. Business making huge donations, and people getting out of their comfort zones to help one another. I've seen massive emails of people to pray for, made by a caring couple whose only delight is to do what's right. I've seen men devoting sweat equity for our facility, and people show up in droves while social distancing to comfort grieving families. I've seen elders work flexibly, parents thriving at home, and young engaged couples be reminded of what's truly important. I've seen families draw closer together and people get to worship with one another from faraway distances. And let me pause and give a shout out to my West Kentucky family, friends from Scottsboro, the Lexington Church of Christ here in Alabama, Canadian Christian brothers and sisters, and those literally scattered around the world, as well as those people across the street. I've seen small acts of kindness last throughout the weeks to remind us that it is love that binds us and love that truly that should define us. I've seen church building doors close while Christian hearts remain open. I've seen more than enough to know it's not decoration but God that we truly seek to show. Our schedules have been altered, but our hearts have not faltered. I've seen ample examples to give me confidence that no matter what storm may hit against God's people, it might as well quit. So be reminded of this fact, that we are family and we have one another's back. For truly, we're better together. And this is what I've seen while in quarantine. We're all in this together. May the love of God be with you this morning as we give Him worship. Now to some announcements.
Good morning. Welcome everyone to our live streaming service, especially our members and any of our visitors out there. Thank you for joining us today. Remind you to please like or share the service this morning so that we can have an opportunity to reach out to others in our community. Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms out there this morning. I hope today is a special day. It's going to be a beautiful day outside, and I hope it's special for each of our moms. And I hope you have a rewarding day with your family. Finally, the day has come where our governor has relaxed the guidelines. So this coming week, we are actually going to be able to meet physically as a church family. So I'm happy this morning. The elders are happy to announce to you that this Wednesday at 6:30, we'll be having a modified service here. We'll be having a period of singing, a period of prayer, and a short devotional, all in the auditorium. There will be no Bible classes. So Wednesday at 6:30, we hope that you can be here. We want to make it clear to all of you that who have underlying health issues or in the high-risk category. If you don't believe it's time for you to come back, that is absolutely fine. You take the time you need, and you return to service when you think it's best for you because of your situation. We also will be having Sunday services here. More details will be coming this week as the elders define how we're going to worship. But Sunday service will be held this coming Sunday, May the 17th. Now, I need to go over a few things with you. So bear with me. These are some detailed things around social distancing. Since we'll be meeting this Wednesday, we need to make sure that we all practice social distancing here at the building. That means we need to maintain 6 feet apart. So obviously no hugging, no slaps on the back, no fist pumps, no handshaking. We need to maintain that distance for now. If it's okay to wear a mask to church, if you choose to do that, It's not required if we maintain social distancing, but you can do that. Every other pew here in the auditorium will be roped off to help us maintain the distancing, so please honor that. For families with children, please make sure you keep your children close to you and don't let the children run around. They need to be close to you so we can maintain the social distancing with them. When entering the building, we'll try to have the doors open so we don't have to touch the doors as much as possible. And when you enter the building, we'll ask that you come straight into the auditorium so we limit congregating out into the foyers, into the hallways. Once you're seated, it's okay to turn around and talk to folks around you. That will be just fine, maintaining the social distancing. And we'll also ask when the service is over that you, when you're ready to leave the auditorium, that you leave promptly out into the parking lot. And again, don't congregate in the foyers and in the hallway so we can, again, maintain social distancing. Once you're out in the parking lot, we have plenty of room. And if you want to stay there for a time and visit with one another, that will be fine. Also, please note that for restrooms, when you go to restrooms, there'll be additional instructions in the restrooms for you to take. So please make sure you honor those and that signage will be posted. And you know that we'll be doing additional cleaning of the building. We'll have a cleaning team in place in addition to the normal cleaning that we do. And we'll make sure that the building is clean, everything wiped down in the auditorium, door, exits. All that will be sanitized before each and every service. Our live streaming services will continue. We'll still have live streaming services on each service so that if you stay home, you'll still be able to participate with that. And then based on how successful we are this Wednesday and the upcoming Sunday, this will be a fluid situation. The elders will make adjustments to make sure that we're healthy and also to make sure that everyone's comfortable with the way we're returning to worship. So please bear with us and we will work through this. But we are just excited that we're going to be able to come together this coming Wednesday and hope that those of you who feel comfortable coming will choose to do so. I encourage you this afternoon to continue to participate in the Bible studies that Austin and Cody are doing for us. We'll have one this afternoon as well, so please make sure you use that. And again, if you need assistance with anything, please, you do not hesitate to reach out to one of the elders or ministers or the church office. Please don't sit there in need if you really need help with something. So please let us know that. Our church has really been hit hard with some losses. And we express our sympathy to our brother Jimmy Black, our sister Betty. Our dearly loved sister Betty passed away this past Sunday. And there was a graveside service, a small service this past week. Please do remember Jimmy and his family and the loss of sister Betty. Also, our sister Robin Van Horn lost her mother, Joan Bogle. That happened very suddenly this Friday, unexpectedly. And there was a small graveside service yesterday. Please remember Robin and all the Van Horn family that's here and her dad and that loss. And also the family of Tommy Musselman. You know, Tommy has been in assisted living for some time, and he passed away this past Tuesday, and there was a small graveside service held this past Thursday for the Musselman family. So please do remember these families. It's very difficult for any loss anytime, and especially during this period that we're experiencing. Continue to remember those that are sick. Our Dee Williford, who has cancer and continuing with her treatments, please do remember her. Carolyn Smith, who's still at home and hospice is involved, and she's very low. Remember her and Buddy, please. Jimmy Black also, you know, with his loss, he's got an injured back still, and he's going to the doctor this week. Please pray for him. Our sister Maddie Lyles is still in Mitchell Hollingsworth, and happy to say that Patsy Pitt's husband Vance is now home from the hospital. So please do remember all the others who have lost loved ones, and we've been mentioning those, and they go out in a regular email over the past few months. It's about time to enter our worship now. In preparation to go along with Austin's sermon, we'll be reading this morning 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 9, if you'd like to turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 8, 8 through 9. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful, dear Lord, for this beautiful day you've blessed us with, Father. Lord, we're so thankful for our mothers, Father. We're so thankful for our wives who are moms to our children. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, Father, that you would help them to know how much they are loved and appreciated. And Lord, we're thankful that we have a time that we can set aside in our nation to honor them. Lord, I pray this morning that you would be with those that have lost loved ones this past week, Lord. I pray, Father, for Brother Jimmy and his loss. Pray for Sister Robin, Lord, and her loss. And all the Van Horn family, Lord. For the Musselman family, Father, please bless all of them, Father, as they mourn the losses of their loved ones this week. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with illness, Father, that are undergoing treatments, and those, Father, that are near the end of their lives. I pray, Father, your blessings, that those that tend to them, Father, would be comforted by you and strengthened by you. Lord, I'm so thankful for this church, and Lord, I'm thankful that you've provided protection to us. And I'm thankful, Lord, that things are improving, that the pandemic is improving in our state and in our area so that we can have some return to normalcy, Lord. I thank you for blessing us with that improvement. And I pray, Father, as we prepare to reassemble, Lord, that you would bless us, Father, with health. And I pray, Father, that you would bless us elders, Father, with wisdom to make right decisions to help our church family, Father, spiritually, as we physically try to return. Lord, we're so thankful for your Son. And Lord, it's because of him that we have a hope of heaven, Father, and that we know we can stand before you white as snow. And I pray, Father, as we enter into the worship today, that nothing will be done, Father, that will not be acceptable to you and bring honor and glory to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
As we prepare this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll sing, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring blessings before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
I'm not sure how familiar each of you may be with being on a water craft. Maybe you've been on a boat, maybe you've been on a jet ski, maybe you've been on an inner tube on the water. But I want you to think about this for just a moment as we consider this memorial in which we're fixing to partake of. If you've ever been on one of those water crafts before, and you've ever been on one during maybe a time when the wind is blowing, have you noticed how easy it is to just be out relaxing, enjoying being on that specific craft, but then to look up to realize that you've drifted hundreds of yards away than where you wanted to be? I did a lot of fishing growing up as a child in a boat, and I can remember that we would troll up to certain spots of the bank, we would begin fishing, we wouldn't throw out an anchor, and then we'd look up and then we'd be 50 to 75 yards downriver. It's so easy to drift away sometimes, and I want to bring your attention to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to read verse 1 for you and continue on in thinking about this idea. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." If you read the previous verses about this text, what you will see is there's a comparison of Jesus to the angels, and how Jesus was that much greater than the angels, and how the angels, they were just ministering spirits sent out to those who are going to inherit salvation. But I want you to think about this for just a moment. When this letter was written, the people who would have been reading this letter are Christians, first century Christians, who have been challenged with giving up their entire heritage, their entire lifestyle, their entire family lineage pretty much, to become a Christian and to remain faithful. How easy would it have been for them to get to that point to where they were comfortable, where they were going through the motions as a Christian, and to think, you know what, I miss the old way, and to just drift away. Because Christianity at this point was not easy. It was a challenging thing because people were not as receptive to this idea of Christianity as what we are today in the first in today's time. In the first century, it would have been very difficult. There would have been punishment for being a Christian. There would have been hatred, and there would have been awful things that would have happened to you because of the way that you abandoned Judaism. But there were a lot of individuals who put their anchor in Jesus, who is greater than the angels. And the Hebrew author reminds them, don't drift away from that fact. This morning, as we gather around this table, here or at home, I hope that we always remember and strive to remember what we are commemorating when we join together in break of this bread. You see, Jesus offered up his life as a ransom for our sins. He offered up his life painfully so that we could be with God in heaven one day. He offered up his life so that we could live a better life while we're here on the earth. And he challenges us each week, when we remember his body, to remember how important that sacrifice was, and to pay careful attention so that we don't drift away from how important that is. So this morning, as we give thanks for the body of Jesus, I pray that we would clear our minds and that we would clear our hearts and to focus in on why we do this. And remember how thankful that we need to be so that we can draw that much closer to Jesus, because he chose to give up his body on our behalf for our sins. So as we do that, let's put away every other care and let's focus and draw closer to Jesus. Would you bow with me? Father God, as we partake of this bread, we pray that you would help us to remember the great price that was paid on our behalf so that we could be with you in heaven one day. Dear Father, it's so easy to drift away from the importance of this. And dear Father, I pray that you would help each of us to clear our minds, to clear our hearts, and to remember each first day of the week that we're remembering your Son, who died a painful, brutal death on the cross so that we didn't have to. Dear Father, help us to do everything that we can, not just on the first day of the week to remember your Son, but all every day of the week to remember your Son and the sacrifice that he gave. Dear Father, bless this bread. Help it to be a reminder as to the great price that was paid for our sins, and challenge us to go about our lives and doing better and better every day. It's our prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow again. Father God, as we continue in this memorial, help us to remember the tremendous price that was paid. This blood that was shed on our behalf is unlike any other blood that has ever existed. Dear Father, this is the only perfect blood that has ever walked this earth, and it's the only blood that can take away sins. Dear Father, it was offered up freely. It was not something that was hesitated. It was not something that was forced, but dear Father, Jesus chose to give his blood up so that we could be with you in heaven one day. And it's because of his great love and your great love that we have this privilege to stand where we stand this morning, to remember the sacrifice that was given on our behalf so that we could be with you. Dear Father, help us to pay careful attention to the way that we live our lives. Help us to realize that the sins that we commit and the mistakes that we choose to do, those things are the things that was required for Jesus to give up his life and to give up this blood. Dear Father, help us to realize that, as Romans 6 says, we don't have a license to sin because of this blood, but we need to do our very best every day to make sure that we overcome the sins that are in our lives. Dear Father, as we partake of this cup, help us to do so in a reverent manner unto you, and help us to be able to focus on that sacrifice and to be able to do this in a worthy manner. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen. This time I want to remind you that there are avenues in which you may give your weekly contribution. You can go to our church website and look at the members tab, or the menu tab, and scroll down, and there's an app called Tithely that you can go on there and give electronically online. Or also you may deliver your funds to the church office during the week. Just call the office and give us a heads up when you're coming, and we'll make sure and be able to help you to be able to do that. But just remember that even though this pandemic is going on, we are still God's people. We are still doing the work of God throughout the world and here in the Shoals community. As we do this, we pray that all of us will challenge ourselves to give a little bit more till it hurts, because we want to be like God, a person who gives all times, not just in times that it's good, not just in the times that it's bad, but that we're a congregation who gives in all circumstances to be able to help others and to be able to help the work of the Lord continue. So I pray that each of us have given ourselves thought to what we're going to give this morning, and that we've put aside in a cheerful manner, knowing that what we donate, what we contribute to the work of the Lord, does not come back empty, but that God provides an increase with the monies that we give. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, as we give this morning, pray that you would be with each of us, and that each of us have set aside a portion of our funds to be able to support your work. Dear Father, we pray that the money that we receive will be used in a way that will be effective, and that you will receive the glory from it. Dear Father, there's a lot of people who are hurting, a lot of people who are in desperate need of physical needs, dear Father, but help us use these funds not only for the physical needs, but also the spiritual. Dear Father, as we give this morning, help us to be cheerful and thankful, knowing that we are giving you the glory. We love you, and we ask that you forgive us of our sins. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
So I got a question. What do mothers, the malady of 2020, and the Messiah have in common? And you're first probably thinking, let me pull out my phone to figure out what in the world the word malady means. Well, I was going to go with mothers, medical workers, and the Messiah, but that didn't cut it because I don't want to just talk about medical workers. I want to talk about more of the virus pandemic that has hit our world and specifically this part where we live. And so malady. And malady is suffering, a hardship, the infection and the virus that is around us and how it has been a malady to us. So the malady of 2020. What do those three things have in common? Is there anything that they actually have in common? You know, Mother's Day, you're probably thinking about red roses, which are beautiful. You're thinking about mothers that are wonderful. And the sermon that Austin's going to preach about them. Well, I had a friend of mine tell me that a sermon is only as good as it quickly brings us to Jesus. Well, in the midst of Mother's Day and the malady of 2020 and getting to the Messiah, what do they all have in common? Will you give me a few moments and go with me on this journey to see what they all share? And how they all bring us together to center in on the Messiah. When you got hurt as a child, who is it that comforted you? Who was the one that came and gave you that warm embrace to let you know that that cut or that scrape was going to be okay? It was your mom, wasn't it? And if it wasn't your mom because you didn't have one of those lovey-dovey, ooey-gooey moms, that's okay. Your mom probably showed you that care and that love and concern in different ways. Maybe the one who continually made sure that you had clothes that fit. You know, your dad wasn't paying attention to that, or maybe he was. I don't know. Who was the one that made sure you had food on the table? Who was the one that made sure you learned how to drive? Who was the one that helped you in relationship problems? Who was the one that put your homework on their table and pushed aside everything they were doing to make sure you got those grades? I don't know how your mother showed you that care, how she gave you that embrace. But it's probably the case that she did. You know, in the midst of the malady of 2020, you think about people who have fulfilled our need for that warm embrace. Not the warm embrace in a relationship, but the warm embrace of, I'm sick and I need help. You're probably thinking about those medical workers. Those medical workers who, instead of being at home, acknowledged their skills and went to work and provided health care for people who are in need. In many ways, these medical workers in the malady of 2020 have reflected mothers and how they fulfilled our need for embrace. And then we come to the Messiah. Our Lord understands now and understood back then that we have a need for embrace. That it is something innate within each one of us. And so while He could have stayed up in heaven with the Father in close proximity to Him, He chose rather to come to earth and to fulfill our need for embrace. The text that was read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, speaking to the Christians in Corinth, wonderfully describes a genuine love and sacrifice. When Paul made the statement, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. He's almost saying the true test of the genuineness of your love is what an individual is willing to sacrifice. And you think about Jesus. If the litmus test of genuine love is what somebody is willing to sacrifice, read in verse 9 about the sacrifice of Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was sick, yet for your sake He became poor so that you by his poverty might be rich. If the litmus test of genuine love is what somebody is willing to sacrifice, well, then Jesus tested off the charts. He knew our need for embrace. And he gave it to us. Not just our need for embrace. Do you remember when you became sick? Who was it that came to be by your side? And when she came to be by your side, or did she not? Oh, no. Mothers don't come by the side of sick children because they may get sick themselves. And so they avoid sick children. They avoid sickness that's in their home. Well, of course not. Mothers will not avoid sickness and those who are in need of their care, but rather they take the risk to become sick in order to care for those who need them. Mothers will take the risk to be sick in order to show their care for their children. Have you considered what it must be like to be a medical worker and be in the medical field right now? You know, I've heard stories. I've heard stories of wives working as nurses who've asked their husbands to go sleep away, go to their parents' house, go to a friend's house, and avoid them in fear of what they could give to their spouse. I've heard of adult children avoiding their parents in order to keep those parents protected, and the only communication they have is through a screen door. I've heard of doctors not holding their grandbabies in fear of what they may or may not have. These medical workers, in the midst of the malady of 2020, could have chosen isolation, but they knew their skills and their ability to help. And so what did they do? They took the risk to care for the sick. And in thinking about this reality, I know that you're also thinking about Jesus. You're thinking about the Father, that God could have chosen to stay in isolation, free and far from any infection or infliction that may be given to him, but rather he chose to leave isolation and take the risk to care for the sick. He took the risk for the sake of his children. You think about the popular verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That he gave. That means he sent him from isolation down to earth, from heaven to here. And God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. John 3, verse 17. You see, God left isolation in the form of Jesus when man became flesh, taking the risk to care for the sick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And there's a wonderful song that mirrors that verse. For he made him to be sin who had no sin, so that we might become his righteousness. I love that song. Even more, I love the reality that our God, our Father, took the risk with the potential to become sick to care for his children. Why? Because God knew his ability to help. Jesus took the risk to be infected with flesh. And to be affected by its passions. And eventually to be inflicted with its pain. And Jesus took the risk because no matter the infection or the degree of excruciation, he was the only one that could care for our sickness in the way that he did. Praise God. He took the risk so that we could be healed. You know, it's funny thinking about growing up and every Mother's Day, Father's Day, and holiday, my mind goes back to many situations in life. Maybe you're like me. Listen to this. Did you ever make this statement? Well, come on, Mom. That's not fair. That makes no sense. when she gave you guidelines for life, guidelines for living? You probably said that as a kid. I know I did, numerous times. But did this happen to you as well? Now that I'm 20, it made a lot more sense back then what she said. Now that I'm 31 and a parent of my own, it makes all the sense. You see, it seems like the guidelines given for life are by nature, as children, immature, deflected, and attempted to be not appreciated. And so they're not followed sometimes. You think about medical workers. How many stubborn men do you know that don't follow the instructions of doctors? And I'm talking to you right now. And really, I'm talking to me. It almost seems like there's this badge of honor. Well, my doctor said this, but I'm not doing it. They can't hold me down. There's this reality that some people, teenagers even think, well, the doctor says it, but I don't really have to do it. Do they know what they're talking about? Well, then years down the road, you're like, yeah, they knew what they were talking about. If I had only, if I had just followed, if I just listened. And as we grow and mature, we learn to appreciate those guidelines for living. I want to think about the Lord. Have you heard anybody make this statement before? God, you are a moral monster. God, all you have are these rules and regulations that bind me and bear down on me and restrict me. When in reality, Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, the Bible tells us in description of God's law, here's what it says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. And by this, we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, watch this, that we keep His commandments. And here's the description. And His commandments are not burdensome. Some people say, God, they bear down on me and they burden me. But they aren't. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. You see, when immature children receive guidelines for life and living, they look at them as, God, why are you doing this? There's no way I'm following that. Are you kidding me? That's a chore. But as we grow and mature, have you seen what happens? Oh God, thank you for doing for me what I didn't know and didn't have the maturity to do for myself. You knew what I needed before I even knew I needed it. You provided for me guidelines and boundaries for life and living because you knew what would help me grow and succeed. I've given you the illustration of children that when the boundaries and the fences of a certain playground were taken away from children, all the children congregated to the middle because without restrictive and without definite and clear boundaries, children fear the unknown and they gather into the middle to their safe space. But when those boundaries were set back in the survey and the study that was done, the children then felt free to roam and to go and to grow together because when clear boundaries are set, aka guidelines for living, we feel free. And Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. No, Lord, your guidelines aren't burdensome. They're exactly what I need, even before I knew I needed them. Praise God. And your mom may feel like this sometimes, that it's a thankless job. And she filled it wonderfully. I don't know what it's like to be a mother. I watch a wonderful mother every day at my house. I was blessed to have a wonderful mother in my home. And I know some of you watching weren't blessed with that in your home. But I can't imagine the meals that go unthanked. The clothes that are washed and folded and put away where not a word of acknowledgement is given. I don't know what it's like to work tirelessly and seemingly all day long, every day, without break, not even to hear simple thanks. Think about the medical workers. Before all of the malady of 2020, had you really gone out of your way to say thank you? The years of study, the immense amount of hours given to prepare them for a job that is service-oriented, that at times is behind the scenes and in the muck and the mess of life, at the forefront and at the front lines of sickness and sorrow. They're there to serve and to help. And is the thanks even given? We in this malady of 2020, we need to be a people who give thanks. Not just in prayer to our Father, but to those medical workers and to those professionals, to those people who are on the front lines, those essential workers. Be people who give thanks in all things to all people, especially those right now in the malady of 2020 who are caring for our needs. But then I want you to think about the Messiah. There's a parable in Luke chapter 17, and I think it describes beautifully the, at times, thankless job that the Messiah fulfilled. Starting in verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. The Bible says, now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Thankless job. You think about the reality of life. If it's the case that few will enter in to the reward that God provides, and many will enter into the punishment that is necessary, isn't it the case that many people will live this life before their Father and not ever say thanks? Don't be that person. Don't let Jesus' job in your life be a thankless one. But like with medical workers and mothers, be a thank-filled person and give thanks for that person. And the one I truly want you to focus on is our Lord, the Messiah. Be like the one. Not like the 9. You know, my wife is the one who actually came up with the outline for the sermon. Yes, it's true. Corey O'Brien, Ellie Steele, Jillian Ferris. My wife does write my sermons sometimes. Sorry, elders. Just letting you know. She came up with this outline. As I was praying this week for what to preach, I realized that my God prayerfully provided this sermon for me through Brianne, and now for you. I hope He's provided exactly what you've needed, because I know He has for me. And maybe today what you've needed is to see the Savior fully caring for your soul. Become a person of thanks, accepting His warm embrace. Become a Christian if you're not. Recently, people have become Christians, not just within our circle, but throughout the world. Do you want to add your name to that list? Become a person who's filled with the Lord, on fire for the work, and ready to go out and serve others. We hope to bring a spark back into your life today. Would you pray with me? Father, we want to be a people of thanks. Thanks for the people you've put into our lives that you work providentially through. A mother, medical workers, and no doubt the Messiah. Thank you for Jesus. May our hearts be filled with love for you through Him. As we pray in His name, and amen.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. As we close this morning, we'll sing Sweet By and By, and we look forward to seeing you Wednesday night at 6:30 here at the building. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your blessings on us today. We're so grateful and thankful for our mothers, both those who are still with us and those who are passed away, the way that they brought us up, cared for us, took care for us. Lord, we just are so thankful for our mothers, and we honor them today, and we cherish great memories of them. Lord, we pray for our government, our leaders, both state, local, and federal. We just pray for them to continue to make good decisions for this nation. Help us to be one nation under God. Help us to look to you for all guidance. And we just pray that we will come out on the other side of this a stronger nation and more in line with how you would have us to be. Lord, we pray for all those among our congregation who are bereaved, who have lost loved ones. We pray that you will be with them and comfort them and help us to bear their burdens along with them. But Lord, we're so thankful that we'll be able to start meeting again in person again soon. We thank you for that opportunity, and we pray that we will be stronger Christians for this experience, and we'll never take anything for granted. Lord, we pray that you will watch over us in the coming week ahead. Help us to be Christ-like with everyone we come in contact with, dear Lord. Please help us to do all things to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.